Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And we are studying in the book of Hebrews. And today we're on lesson number 6. And this lesson is about warnings. And it will be from Hebrews chapter 2. And today we're just going to study these first 4 verses of Hebrews chapter 2. So we'll begin our study with prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you will guide us, lead us, and direct us as we study this portion of your word. May the Holy Spirit teach us, Father, and may our lives be changed from reading and studying your word and knowing you more, Father. I thank you, Father, that you had your word penned down that we may know Jesus more. Oh, Father, not just know about him. And I pray now today as we study together that you will open our minds and our hearts and our very being. And Father, give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand through your Spirit. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read these first 4 verses of chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews. And then we will discuss each verse and see what God's word is saying to us in these verses. For this reason, this is in the very first chapter, the very first verse of chapter 2. For this reason, that also means therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unaudible, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now we have to really take a step back and look at what chapter 1 is about in order to understand, because he starts this chapter with "for this reason." And to find out what this reason is, you have to go back to chapter 1. First of all, we learned who the author was writing to. And we know that it was Jewish believers who had endured suffering to a certain degree. And what then was it about? We learned in the first chapter about a word of exhortation. And whom was it about? In our overview, we do the overview by looking at chapter 1 through chapter 13. That's the entire book of Hebrews. And in looking throughout the entire book, we found that the whole book was about Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And Jesus was mentioned 28 times in this book by the writer of Hebrews. And we established in the beginning, we have been told that the author was unknown, and then later on theologians and some have come to the agreement that it was written by Paul, but we're not absolutely sure. But there are things in the entire book that have that signature, so to speak, of Paul in the way that he taught in all the 13 letters that he wrote in the book of the New Testament. Now, let's look at the first main segment in Hebrews. And what was it about? The first segment of Hebrews is chapter 1 and chapter 2. And it's about the Son, Jesus, and angels. So, looking then at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God spoke to us in His Son in these last days. And then verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1 told us that His Son, God's Son, Jesus, is better than the angels. And then we learned in verses 5 through 14 of chapter 1, the word for, and that word was for exclamation or teachings about God's Son being better than the angels. So now, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 2, and I'm going to read this verse again, and we're going to talk for a while about what this verse is saying. For this reason, that means also therefore, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So, what had they heard? They had heard in that first chapter that God spoke first to the prophets, and now He is saying in this first chapter that He is speaking through His Son. So, what we've heard then from Jesus, as God said that He spoke through Him, because He came to this earth and He taught and He preached the gospel, the true word. So, here He is saying, because of this, we need to pay closer attention to what we have heard. And why do we need to pay closer attention? We need to pay closer attention because of what Jesus has said, so that we won't drift away from it, from what He is saying. Now, when you look at the word drift or drift away, it makes you think in terms of a ship being anchored to a port. And if that ship is not anchored substantially, then it will have the tendency to be caught up by the currents and drift away. And it's going to drift away from where it was supposed to be anchored to. So that's what He's talking about here. All that you've heard, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, you have been anchored to that, the word of salvation. But He's saying that you need to pay attention for what you've heard, because there are things out there that can cause you to drift away from what you have heard. So this is a warning then in verses 1 through 4. It's a warning about listening to what God spoke in His Son. And that's in chapter 1, verse 1. Now, let's look at the word listening. You know that in the world we live today, there are so many functions and things going on that they have taught the children in the school to multitask. They're to be able to do more than one thing at a time. So sometimes when you talk about listening, here he's talking about listening to what God has spoken through His Son. And you know, you can be listening but not hearing. You can be reading a book and the TV can be on. So you're reading, but you're not actually hearing all that you're reading because you have a distraction, the TV. And that brings your thought patterns, separates it, causes you to drift, in other words. So this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that we need to pay close attention because of what Jesus is saying through His Word. So, in listening to that, He's saying, so that you won't drift away from it. Now, there are many things that causes us sometime to drift away when you talk about drifting. That doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation, but you can't drift into salvation, but you can drift away from it. So what causes anybody to drift away from the Word of God? First of all, it's a neglect. If we neglect to stay in His Word, if we neglect to pray, if we neglect to come together in worship together as a body in Jesus Christ, then this can cause us to drift away from what we have heard in the Word. And then another thing that causes us to drift would be influence of other people. If we find ourselves spending time with other people that don't spend time in Word, don't go to church, don't pray, we can be caught up into that current, so to speak, and we can drift away from our sanctification, not lose our salvation, but we can drift away by the influence of other people. So another thing is temptation. We know that Satan is always tempting us and putting things before us, worldly things that can cause us to drift away from the Word, the truth of God. So we have to be careful that we don't listen to Satan. And so then we're going to see in this study how that we can be restored when we drift away. He is saying here in this second verse, "For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" So how are we going to escape from it? How are we going to keep from being caught up into it? That's what we need to look at. Some of the reference that will help explain this verse 2 is found in other scriptures. So I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I'm going to give you the scriptures, and then I will explain what the scriptures are saying. In Acts 7, verse 38 and 51 through 53, in the book of Acts, we studied where Jesus quoted Israel's history from the Old Testament when he was giving his defense before the Jewish council. And this was several years before Hebrews was written. And the angel spoke to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy and in Exodus. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, and in Exodus 31, verse 18. So in these Old Testament studies, you find that the angel spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him the law. And they received the law ordained by angels, but refused what God spoke in his Son to them. That's what Stephen was telling the people when he spoke to them, that Moses had given these law, but now Stephen is saying to them that you have refused to listen to what Jesus is saying in his Son. And also, they had received the law, but they didn't obey it. So the Old Testament law was unalterable, and in it was stated penalties for transgressions, for the sin against it. So what is the comparison then? Looking at verse 3, he said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Okay, in order to see that, we know that there is a penalty. And the recipients, these believers that the author was writing to, they knew that there was a penalty for disobedience of the law. So the author reminded them that neglecting or disregard to their salvation also had a just penalty from which there is no escape. He said, if we neglect so great a salvation, how shall we escape from it? So he warned them about missing salvation. And to make this clear, in this study, the Hebrew writer was writing to believers, but here in the church were some that had come into the church. They were saying they were believers, but they were not true believers. And that's what he was saying about, he was warning them about missing salvation. Some who say they are saved, but they're not really saved. So we have to see that there, even today in our churches, some that are members, but they're not true believers. They just have their names, so to speak, on roll, but they have not truly received salvation. So what then does it seem is the purpose of signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Spirit. And so we see that God is through God when he spoke. He confirmed everything through his word, through his speaking. First of all, we see that, let me finish, I'm going to go back and start on chapter 3 that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And then he goes on to read, after it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us, the believers, by those who heard. The word was spoken through the Lord, but he is saying, the Hebrew writer, because he refers, confirms to us, including himself, as one of those that heard the word. And then we see that having heard the word, those that were true believers accepted the word and they believed of what had been spoken. Now, going on, we're going to look at verse 4 in Hebrews 2. And remember that the Hebrew writer, the one that is writing it, he is saying that the word was first spoken through the Lord, through God, but he's saying it was confirmed to us by those who heard it from the Lord. Now, that sounds like a repeat, and it is, but I wanted to say it again so that we can get the message here, that the Hebrew writer is saying that we didn't hear it from the Lord, but we heard it from those that heard it from the Lord. So, look at verse 4 now. God also bearing witness with him, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So, God himself is one that was bearing witness with them, with those that heard him speak. And he did this through the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And we can go all the way back into the Old Testament and we can see the many signs and wonders that God performed to the people, that they might have faith and believe, because it was through these miracles and these signs and wonders, and we're talking about how that God used Pharaoh, and through Moses he brought the people out of bondage, and we saw the many signs and wonders that he performed when he told Pharaoh to let the people go. And then further on, when he did let them go, we saw the many signs that he did whenever he parted the Red Sea, how that he gave them food, the manna that he sent down from heaven, and through the birds he gave them the meat, and on throughout, all the way up to the time of Jesus. And when Jesus came, we began to see the miracles that he brought about. And so here the writer is saying that God bears witness with these that he spoke to by the signs and the wonders and the miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So when Jesus came and died, and God raised him again, remember, he said that he was going away, and he said, I'm not going to leave you without a helper. I'm going to send someone to help you. And there he was giving them, and did give all that believe us today, the Holy Spirit. And it was given by his own will. So we will look now at verse 4. This is all that we're looking at today. The next verse is 5 through 18 in chapter 2. We'll be looking at next week. So there's a lot in these next verses. There's so much in these first four verses that even I cannot comprehend or bring all of it. But I hope that what we have seen from chapter 1 through these first four verses here in chapter 2, that we are beginning to get the picture of how that God spoke through his Son. How that we today are a part of those that God spoke to, and these that he spoke to, we are part of the believers, because today he speaks to us through his word. And in that day, he was speaking through those that had heard that God, you remember it started out that God first began to speak through the prophets. And then later on, when Jesus came, God came in the form of man. Then Jesus began to speak, and he began to teach and preach the very word or words of God. So as we're going forward into our study next week, we will learn more about how that Jesus is speaking to these. And remember that the Hebrews are the believers. These are the ones that the writer or the author is writing to. And he knows that they are those among them that are not true believers. And that's why that he is warning these believers that they need to be cautious. In that very first verse is the warning. He says, for this reason we must pay closer, much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So, as I pointed out, some of the things that cause us to drift away, he is referring them to not be caught up with these unbelievers that are among them, and not to let themselves get away from the word and listening to what God has spoken, and not to forget to pray, because he's going to exhort them throughout, but he's also going to warn them how that Satan can come in and tempt them and draw them away. And today, as we face all the temptations that they too face, we're facing today, because Satan, of course, is still the prince of air, the prince of this world. And until Jesus comes, then we have to face the temptations. And in order to face these temptations, we have to stay in the Word. We have to listen to the word, and we have to hear it, not just listen, but we have to hear it or heed the word, that it becomes a part of us. So we will close now in prayer and continue to pray for me and pray for one another as we continue our study, that God will speak to each of our hearts and that He will be able to use us to be a light and a witness for Him. Father, again, we just come to You praising You and thanking You, Father, knowing that we do have an anchor. Father, knowing that our anchor is Jesus, and we want to stay tied up, completely surrendered to Jesus, that we will be anchored, that He will be able to use us. And I just pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to help us to fight the battle against the Prince of Peace, to be strong and to stay anchored and not drift away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know, Father, that we'll never lose our salvation, but we can drift away. And we just pray, Father, that You will help us to be overcomers and to stand firm upon Your word. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.